this meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the role, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy.
Here.
Mayor Ron Artley.
Here.
Councilmember Anna Klein.
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan.
Here.
City staff Justin Johnson, City Manager Ashley Coronado, City Clerk Sharon Bono, Finance Director Cindy Moss, Personnel Director Albert Echave, Police Chief Jack Ernest, Fire Chief City Attorney Britt Hanson.
Thank you very much. I want to welcome Britt Hanson, our new City Attorney, his first session with us tonight.
Thank you,
representing the county, please. Thanks for being here. Item number one, presentation and discussion of employee benefits for fiscal year 2015-2016. And I will defer to Ms. Moss, the personnel director.
Hello, council members. This is Oscar Diaz and Becky Lopez from CBIZ. They're benefits consultants, and they're here to do a presentation on our insurance that we've selected. But just to give you a little bit of a background to roll in, that we didn't just put this together in 1 week. We started this process back in October, and Mr. Johnson had a goal for us to get the employees' voice through the employee council, get a direction from them what they'd like to see, and to also find a program that is good for the overall city business. So we think we've done that. CBIZ ran over or went over 18 different health plan options. We've narrowed it down. We also looked into trusts that the employee council was interested in, and found that they weren't accepting new members, and then two of the other trusts were costing more than what we currently had. So we rolled those out. And we went over this just on the 27th, and we're bringing it to you to review. So we think that you'll like what they have to present. So go ahead.
All right, for Mayor, Council, staff, appreciate the opportunity be in front of you today. Leo Byrne, who's actually the lead consultant for the city, wasn't able to be here. She's actually was called out to one of our clients in Michigan. So she's hanging out at a casino right now where you and I are going to get all these numbers. So hopefully she's a big winner, but not so big that she doesn't come back. We definitely need her on the case. But we do appreciate the opportunity and to present to you folks. We went through a pretty extensive due diligence process and looking at the marketplace that we have. And it's a typical process that we go through on an annual basis. Those of you council members that have been on the council for a while know that we go through this process to look at any option that may be available for the city. We look at not only from a cost standpoint, but from a benefit standpoint, and how that is going to affect you as a city from the amount that you finance, but as well as the impact that will be on employees. As Cindy mentioned, we looked at trusts, we looked at them very extensively, and we met with staff in October and again in January to look at those options so that staff would fully understand what those options may look like, since there was a desire and an appetite to explore what the trusts look like. As Cindy mentioned, they weren't viable, but we went through the process. So through our due diligence process on an annual basis, we will take you out to bid. So we'll go to the marketplace that's out there and take a look at what options might be available. It's a very dynamic process. It's dynamic on an annual basis because the insurance companies sometimes are more competitive in some years, and other years they just don't really play. Much to our surprise, it was a competitive year. So we look at a yearly opportunity to look at the marketplace because you don't always know what's going to be out there. We have found some options we think that are viable. It will require, if the council approves it, to make a carrier change. So we're looking at moving away from Comvet to another carrier. And it will mean that there is a possibility that you'll have to change the benefit plan design. However, there is a process whereby we can keep the employees whole and still see a sizable savings to the city and a possible savings to the employees as well. Okay? So we want to go ahead and walk you through that, and I'll let Becky take it from this point, since Becky's much more intimately knowledgeable about the benefit plan designs and the numbers, and I'm not going to take any credit for all the work she's done.
Thanks, Austin. Everybody's got their presentation. So I'll just kind of walk you through it so you know how to read it, and then it's definitely open, just asking questions as I go through it, because I see this every day. So I kind of just whiz through it like no big deal. But basically what you'll see is on the far left column, the benefit description, and it's just really going to be the most commonly utilized benefits. Next to that is the plan design. So on your far left column, you have your deductible, and then next to that in the very second column, you'll see the first plan that the city currently has, which is the base plan, has a $500 deductible, $1,000 for family maximum. Everybody's with me? Okay. And then next to that is the buy-up plan. So two columns there, your current plan designs, and then the to the far right, those are just the same plans at renewal. Okay? So the plan, your base plan has a $500 deductible with a $3,500 individual max out-of-pocket, $7,000 for a family. Everything, all your co-pays are accumulating toward that maximum out-of-pocket currently, all but your pharmacy. As you go down, your preventive care is covered at 100%, primary care physicians at a $20 office visit copay, specialist is at a 40, lab and x-rays covered at 100%. Your specialty scans, CAT scans, PET scans, those are covered at a $50 copay at a freestanding facility or $250 at an outpatient hospital. And then any inpatient hospitalization is subject to that deductible, co-insurance. The outpatient surgery is at a 200. Yes?
Excuse me. That 10% after deductible, 10% of whatever that bill is.
Correct.
The allowed amount that's negotiated by the insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. Outpatient surgery is at a $250 copay. Emergency rooms at a $250 copay. Urgent care is at a $50 copay. And then you have your prescription drugs on a three tier. $10 for tier 1, 30 for tier 2, or 45 for tier 3.
The tier 1 is typically generic. There is sometimes some brand name or company, but the majority of those are prescriptions.
So again, just wanted you to know how to follow the format so that when we're comparing benefits on the next page,
you'll know. You said that there probably will be a change in carrier. So my question is going to be, what are we going to expect?
Right.
From a little back or hiccups or things like that. But there's a point in your presentation where you're going to talk about that. I can certainly wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Renewal plans would stay exactly the same. So the only change to the renewal plan is there is a separate out-of-pocket maximum for a pharmacy, which is just a member protection due to the Affordable Care Act. The ACA currently, with HealthNet, your prescriptions don't accumulate toward the maximum out-of-pocket because they were allowed to exclude that. Well, this year they had to put in the out-of-pocket maximum to apply for prescriptions as well.
So that means those plans now become ACA compliant.
But no changes to the plans themselves. And that would reflect a 5% increase. So the numbers that you see down here is total premium dollars. Okay, that's not the actual cost to the city. This is total cost between the city and the employees.
We have illustrations of what the impact would be to the city. Look for the back. I would say keep this out.
Yeah, just kind of.
Because that way you can refer back to it.
So just put it side by side next to the next page, page 3. And these two plan options are the two plan options that we narrowed it down to for the city to compare to what you have currently with United Healthcare. Both of these options are really good options within the industry. Very standard plan designs. The plans that Bisbee currently offers are just not really seen out in the market today. They provide an extensive amount of coverage, meaning lower deductibles, co-pays for just about every procedure. It's just not common to see these type of plans in the market today because they're very expensive.
Your buy-up plan, for the most part, doesn't exist anymore. And I'll tell you that HealthNet probably and their entire book of business has less than 10 clients across their entire book of business, and they have that plan because of its richness. Our just from a perspective standpoint, our average book of business, we have about 400 clients in our agency. The average deductible starts at about $1,250. That's for a richer plan.
Right.
So when you have no deductible, that's an extremely rich plan. A $500 deductible is even still very rich. So just from a little perspective standpoint. So kudos to you for offering rich plans, but we're going to show you some options that'll be able to save you money and still be able to provide some of that rich benefit for your employees.
So the like the copay and everything like that, that's the copay that the employee would be paying, not the
city. Yeah.
City pays for it overall. Okay.
Yeah. So United Healthcare option 9, the base plan option would be basically the plans are going to change completely. So I've highlighted everything in yellow what would change. But the plans are changing altogether. You're going from an HMO platform to a PPO platform. So with the HMO platform, you don't have out-of-network benefits. The HMO platform that you're on, it's really just the way that the plan is, the contracts are written. So, I mean, you have open access, but it's really controlled by your primary care physician. Whereas on your PPO plan, you guys will have out-of-network benefits. You know, there's more freedom. You can travel and still receive the in-network benefits anywhere in the United States just by finding a contracted provider. Whereas currently on your HMO plan, you just have emergency coverage when you're traveling outside of Arizona.
So to that end, Healthlin is a regional company. So they're primarily based in California and in Arizona. United Healthcare is the largest insurance company in the United States. So by virtue of that, you wind up having a pretty much broader national network should your employee access that with their own vacation, or if they have dependent children for whom they have to provide care out of the area. There's a much higher level of access to providers across the country than we would have in this HMO program.
So most cities would have a facility for in the network?
Typically, yes. Especially larger cities, metropolitan. If you're out in a small rural city, you may not have that situation. But again, emergency care is always covered at the in-network level, regardless of where you access it.
Okay, so then all the new options that we have will all be paid for. There will be no more HMOs,
correct?
Right. I actually prefer the PPOs.
So what you're going to see in the options there is that goes through. You're going to be seeing higher deductibles. Now, what we're proposing to you is a program called Health Reimbursement Arrangement. And what the Health Reimbursement Arrangement does is the city then would set the deductible at whatever level they want to. So if the city comes back and says, we still want to have a very rich plan with no deductible, if we have now in the buy-up plan, we still want to have a $500 deductible like we have now, the health reimbursement arrangement would be set up so that the city would backstop the additional amount. So the employee would still pay no more than that amount. The city would have some risk involved with backstopping that. But the reality of it is the cost savings that you're going to see from a premium standpoint would far outweigh any risk that the city would take on the additional burden. Backstop those additional deductibles.
Give us an example of risk.
And we do have an example in the back.
If you want me to wait till we get to the back,
yeah,
that's fine too.
We'll give you the scenarios and how that would work, because we do always, anytime we're going from a standard plan into a health reimbursement arrangement, we want it to be eyes wide open. So we'll show you exactly how many deductibles employees would have to go through before you expended your savings. And you'll see the savings is significant.
Okay. So
can you speak a little bit louder?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm a little hard for that.
I can get loud. Option 9, the base plan option has a $1,000 individual deductible, $2,000 per family. So comparing to current, that's going up $500 on the individual side or $1,000 per family. After that, it's a 90-10 split. Up to the maximum out-of-pocket of $4,000 for an individual, $8,000 for a family.
Let me ask a question on that. Let's say I do two surgeries a year. Is it topped out at $4,000, whether I do one surgery a year? Let's say I go back in and do another one. $4,000 is the max for both, or five?
Yep,
okay.
In any given calendar year,
okay.
Because the plans all run on a calendar year.
Okay.
So the 90 is the insurance and the 10 is the individual?
Yes. Right. After the deductible. Again, preventive care is covered at 100%. That's standard with all plans. Office visit copays do not change. Your specialist does not change. Lab and x-rays covered at 100%. The lab and x-ray for specialty is at a $250 copay regardless of where you receive the services. Inpatient hospitalization subject to deductible coinsurance. Your outpatient surgery is going to be subject to your deductible and coinsurance, so it's no longer going to be at a $250 copay. Emergency room goes up by $50 to $300. Urgent care goes from $50 to $75. And then prescription drugs will go on a four-tier, $10 for tier one, $35 for tier two, $60 for tier three, or $250 for tier four. So, again, this is where we see the most disruption, really, is with prescription drugs because no two insurance companies have the same formulary. So just because somebody's currently paying $10 on HealthNet's formulary doesn't mean it's going to fall into the $10 copay with United Healthcare.
And it could be somebody's paying $25 and could not pay
$10. Would the city be making that decision on which tier, or would the person, the patient, the you know, the individual, be making the decision on the pharmacy, the RX?
Well, it's all based off of how the insurance carrier themselves are going to classify that drug into which tier it falls under. But the individual does have the choice to
pay the difference,
to talk to the provider and see if there's an alternative available, a more affordable alternative. Because obviously if someone's going from, let's just say, $30 to $60, they're going to feel that on a monthly basis. You know, so maybe there's an alternative that their doctor could prescribe. But that's just from my own experience, that's where I hear it the most is, you know, well, my prescription copay changed, but it's that's going to happen regardless. It's going to happen with a change.
It happens within the health plans, too, because the health plans do review their formularies twice a year, so those changes happen even within the health plan. So they'll make prescriptions up and down the tier levels depending on whatever the situation might be. It could be cost, it could be efficacy, it could be rebates that they're getting from the insurance company.
Yeah, United Healthcare does review their formulary in January and July of every year. So.
And they gave us forewarnings, so we, when there's a change coming, we always make sure our clients understand. There is always outreach by the insurance companies to the members. When the members are going to be impacted negatively or positively, they will reach out to the employee and say, your prescription is going from this tier to that tier. So there's never a surprise. At that point in time, it gives the members the opportunity to go back to their physician and see if there is an alternative prescription they could take that's at a lower cost.
One more thing with United Healthcare's pharmacy program is for any routine maintenance medication that someone takes on a monthly basis, you know, for high blood pressure or anything, they will require you to, they request that you use their mail order pharmacy, or you can opt out of that and then continue to pick up your drug from the pharmacy at a copay. Otherwise, the pharmacy, if you don't opt out of the program, then they won't cover it at the pharmacy. So you're familiar with that. But it's really just an opt-in or opt-out. It's a simple phone call. So I help members with that all day as well.
I'm retired military, and United Health is the care plan that we have now.
Okay.
And when they did the transition, I'm not going to say it was seamless,
sure,
but there it really was not that much of a difference from what we were doing before. The only question I have is there's four tiers now. What are the four tiers for the pharmacy? I know it's a formulary.
The fourth is specialty.
Specialty, okay.
You're right.
Okay. All right.
So it's for the very high-end, very high-cost prescription drugs, like the Sovaldis that are coming out now, the hepatitis C, those types of prescriptions that, you know, they run $85,000 and the members will pay $250. So it's a very small class, and I think we did a disruption analysis. There's nobody on a specialty right now.
I still need to review. We did. HealthNet provided us a prescription, a current list of prescriptions to date on the group, so we could compare with United to see where it would fall, to see how many people we would have impacted into the high higher tier copays. So.
And even though that it's changed every year, what I've seen is if there is a change in the cost, then usually the pharmacy will try to get you at the lowest possible. For instance, like it's Nexium, they'll substitute something else for it so that you can stay at the same cost.
Right. Member typically needs to work with their doctor and
right.
get that done. Any questions on that base plan, how it works?
She's done a plant, by the way.
Well, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been real happy about it.
The buy-up plan works exactly the same as the base plan that we just went over. It just has less out-of-pocket exposure in your deductible and your maximum out-of-pocket. So deductible is $500 for an individual, $1,000 for family. You have your 90-10 co-insurance up to a maximum of $3,000 for an individual, $6,000 for a family. Office visits do go up for those that are currently enrolled on that buy-up plan, from 15 to 20 or from 30 to 40. Your lab and x-ray is still covered at 100%. Specialty scans are going to be subject to $250 copay regardless. Inpatient hospitalization, outpatient surgery is all subject to your deductible coinsurance, whereas right now they have copays. So you have a $350 copay for inpatient hospitalization or $150 copay for any outpatient surgeries. Emergency room goes from $250 to $300. Urgent care goes from $50 to $75. And then again, prescription drugs would be the same on both plans. But it is a change. Overall, you'll see the current savings, annual savings, at $84,853. That is in total premium dollars.
It's just been transferred from the city to the, I got it, to the employees, right?
As far as benefits?
Mm-hmm. No, the pay.
No.
Okay.
The buy-up plan changes the dollar amount that we currently use to buy up. Right now, it costs us $40 a month to buy up, and I believe the plan drops it down by $20, so it's a benefit to the employee.
That's what I was just trying to get clear. If it was just a transferal or actual savings.
No, it's actual premium dollars. This is just total dollars. We'll get into where it breaks it down for the employee as well, so you can see that savings, how that impacts.
Okay.
Option 12 works exactly the same as the plans in option 9. It's just increasing deductibles even greater to get more premium dollar savings. But keep in mind that we're looking at that health reimbursement account on the back end.
How much is that savings making?
That reflects $112,766, so 21.5% decrease in total premiums from where you are today.
So the concept, so you understand, the health reimbursement arrangement is that I liken it to car insurance, in that you buy a deductible for $500, but if you never use it, you've been paying that additional premium. If you push it out to $1,000, you're going to save all of that premium until you use it. That cost savings can then be applied towards having to pay that additional deductible should it occur. If it never occurs, you never have a car accident, that's money in your pocket. So that's money in your pocket, that's money in your employee's pocket, because they're not paying the higher premium. But in the event that somebody does have an occurrence where they have to use the services that's deductible applied, again, the city would have some type of a backstop through that health reimbursement arrangement to help the employee stay whole. Okay, that's the concept. You only pay for it when you use it. Right now, you're basically overinsured. So you're paying for something that your employees are not utilizing, and therefore you're paying much more in additional premium, and so are your employees. So we're trying to show you, give you avenues to lower your cost, knowing that there still will be some additional expenditure in the health reimbursement rate. So you're not going to realize that entire savings, and that's the illustration we'll show you how that health reimbursement rate works. Okay?
Any questions? No other questions? Okay, well, if we go to page 4 and page 5, this is just the cost summary that breaks down the actual cost to the city. So this is taking those total premium dollars, and how is this impacting the city? And then we show different contribution amounts. So currently, the BSBY pays 100% of that base plan for the employee only. We showed how that would impact if you changed that contribution to a 95% or to 90%. So I know it's small. It's a little hard to read, but you'll see current premium dollars, renewal premium dollars, reflecting a 5% increase. The 26,263. Right below that, the actual cost to BSBY is 21,751 at a 4.9%. That's with the HealthNet renewal. And then with the United renewal option 9, that's a total savings to BSBY based off of 100% employee contribution on that base plan. That reflects a savings of $64,227.
And then based on the fact that the premiums go down, then you will see on the other tiers that your family is going to save. So the city's still paying 100% on the individual premium, then the amount that your employees with dependents will pay will go down. Want to give an example of that?
On?
So employee and family is at 1360, right?
Yeah, we broke it down even further on the following pages to show the impact to the members and family costs.
So you're seeing there's a sizable savings to the city and still having the employees covered at 100% on that base plan.
Let me understand one thing. HealthNet was, with the same program, was going to have a $21,000 increase this year with the very same program.
Correct.
Okay. And United option number 9 is a $64,000 savings compared to HealthNet.
Mm-hmm.
Is that 64 before the 21,000 was added on to HealthNet?
No. That's
okay.
That's comparing to current today.
Yeah, okay. So it's an $85,000 swing.
Right.
Okay. I understand. Is that an $85,000 swing?
Right.
Yes. Good question.
Understand.
And then option 12, you see the impact there. And then below that is just, again, change if you wanted to change the contribution amounts and not pay 100% of that employee-only premium, you could take that down to 95% to see the cost impact. And page 5 is just changing it to a 90%. So just showing different ways to find dollars if needed. Page 6. And page 7. And page 8 is just breaking it down even further, but showing the impact to the employee as well. So the far left column where
page,
you'll...
Page what?
Page 6.
Okay.
The far left column, you'll see it's broken down per plan for employee, employee plus spouse, employee plus children, or family. Right next to that is the cost for an employee on that base plan, employee plus spouse at $317.70 for the base plan. Employee plus children, $194.19, or family at $442.39. Right below that is the buy-up plan option, following the same format. If you go down to the next box, basically breaks it down for the renewal and then all the options that we just went over. So that's the employee portion. You can look at it monthly if you go over a couple columns over, if you would rather look at it monthly instead of per pay. And then you'll also see the total cost, the company cost as well. The little tails to the far right just is the actual cost to City of BSBY.
Let's give an example.
So if we go to the United Healthcare renewal option 9, on the base plan option for a family. Currently, families, well, we don't have any families enrolled in the base plan option. You'll see the enrollment there. We have 34 people enrolled as employee only. 2 is enrolled as employee plus spouse. But for a family, it would currently cost them $442.39 or $884.77 a month to be enrolled on the base plan option as a family. With United Healthcare option 9, it would go to $755.49 a month.
Well, that's significant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought we had 4 families on that.
You have...
employee plus children.
So let's look at that. So we won't have an employee plus spouse.
An employee plus spouse currently would be $630, or it is $635.40. That would go to $542.54.
That's $12 here, savings.
Certainly a benefit to those particular ones, the spouse and the families.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
How about the
Yeah, and I'll just say that, and I recognize that number, while it is a decrease, it is significant. The one thing that a number of organizations, particularly municipalities, do offer is that municipality will pay a portion of that benefit. And so I guess there was a point in time when the city may have picked up more of a share. I'm not sure. But just to kind of keep that in mind, because a couple of employees have asked if whether or not city would be willing to pick up more as it relates to employee plus family specifically.
So or even
just
perhaps
dependent care.
Yeah. Or so even perhaps assist in the deductibles if they have to use a hospital service.
I mean, but you know, it is a cost.
Yeah.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and realizing the financial realities that we have, that's part of the reason why we're here. Mm-hmm. So that's what we've got. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And the pages 7 and 8 are, again, just changing the contribution amount from 100% employee only to 95% or 90%, so just following the same format.
We always like to show as an option if there's an appetite for an employer to say, we want to give an emblem to our employees and provide a rich benefit program, but we also want to make sure that our employees see that there is some value to the plan from a cost standpoint. So if we do pass on some part of that cost to the employee, there's a value associated with that. Plus, we may also have employees that participate on the plan because it's essentially no cost, even though they're not utilizing it because they don't have avenues for receiving their health care elsewhere, either through TRICARE or through a spouse's plan or through a retiree program, but they take it because there's no cost. So those employees might say, well, maybe I won't take it now that there is a cost because I'm able to access care elsewhere. That then becomes a cost savings to the municipality as a result. Not that you want to take anything away from employees, but you may have employees that are taking the program even though they can get it somewhere else.
Councilmember Dowdy, you have a question.
Yes, you gave the same presentation to the employee council.
No, not this one. CBIS came back to us. We were actually slated to meet a week before last. But we had to move it to last week.
Okay.
And so last week was the first time we had an opportunity to go through the plan.
So the employees haven't seen this yet?
In groups, I know Cindy has gone out to and spoke with the chief to relay the information, public works. Sharon has pulled her ladies aside and gave them a heads up. I've talked to Colleen and Joe here in City Hall, and so employees are aware of some of those changes.
I may make note that the chairman of the employee council is in the audience tonight, Tom Coble. And Tom, you're certainly welcome to participate because it is about the employees. If you like, it's up to you.
I just wonder how they felt about it, the change.
And if there was any opportunity to throw a fast, I'm not aware of the timing on this decision, the final decision on this, if there was any time at all to have an employee council meeting and receive feedback prior to making the final decision on this. speak for myself that I'm interested in having an impact on helping the fiscal problems we're in. I would probably hope that the people in the employee council, along with the people they represent, would feel the same way.
I will say that originally we had had placed this decision on the regular session after this work session tonight, but we felt that it was important, and it's only a two-day, there's a special session scheduled for Thursday, but I felt it was very important, or we felt it was very important to have this little bit of a delay. It's the minimum, but we're up against a budget situation as well. Is that right, Ms. Moore? And so we're in a little bit of a time crunch. So the employee council and the employees of the city, this is for you, and your input is it's important, it's needed.
Yes, and the commitment to this plan is a span of 1 year and can be revisited in 1 year from this time.
Yeah, and you can speak, generally speaking, on an annual basis, CBIZ will go out to the marketplace and rebid or solicit proposals from various insurance companies. So it happens on an annual basis. In the last 2 years, we've had a quote rate pass or no changes in the plan. But this year, I guess the chickens came home to roost on us, so to speak. So, yeah, so on an annual basis, we go through this process.
I'll tell
so basically,
you.
We're being told that we're not having that option. We're not going to have the option of having HealthNet as opposed to United, right?
That's quite frankly, that's the recommendation.
So we're eliminating the other. Okay.
Yes.
Can I just...
That's not under the plan, of course.
That might be a recommendation, but it may not.
No, I mean, but I'm saying the staff's recommendation, right?
But that's not council recommendation.
No, I'm just speaking on staff's recommendation. So that's... And that's why we're here for you all to make that decision. If we want to keep the package and see that increase, that's certainly the pleasure of Mayor and Council. Or on the flip side.
Correct. Did you want to continue? Or you just got to wrap up?
I think that Justin brought up a good point, you know, saying that we will review this annually with AC, with the Affordable Care Act. There's lots of things coming down the path that we need to take into consideration as well. One being that on an annual basis, starting next year, states are defining their small group business up to 100 lives. So that would mean that the plan that you know today could be not available next year upon renewal.
With either of the companies,
just because the way that the insurance carriers are writing the plans, it wouldn't apply in the small group market, so these plans could go away anyhow. United Healthcare has given Bisbee the option, if they do decide to go with the alternative options, they have agreed to allow them to renew at an earlier date prior to July 1st. So basically, you could keep the plan, if you agreed to go with them, you could keep their plan, renew October again. So you'd go with them in July, renew in October, and you'd be able to have the option to keep this plan for another year until 2017, which would basically give you transitional relief definition under the Affordable Care Act, which would allow you to continue the plan. So I'm just letting you know that that's out there. If we do keep the HealthNet plan, you're faced with the same option. If the states are allowed to define small business up to 100 lives, the plans that you know today could be gone next year. That's just how we know it today. There's also what's lingering out there is called the Cadillac tax. So I don't know did everyone get a copy of the Cadillac tax?
From an optics standpoint, what's going to occur at your next renewal is that we currently, as you can see illustrated, is a four-tier plan. So it's very simple. Employee, employee plus spouse, employee plus children, employee plus family. When you revert over into the Accountable Care Act plans, the small group plans, it's going to create some complexity for staff in that the rates for every individual will be based on every participant in that family unit based on their age. So you're going to have age categories from the age 18 all the way to age 64. So what will happen inevitably is you could potentially have employees in every single category. Their spouses are going to have their own rate. Their dependent children will also have their own rate. And there's no way around that. That's just the way the plans have written them in healthcare reform.
Would that plan be sort of the opposite of the senior citizen discount?
Yes. So the only way to avoid that type of situation would to be going from fully insured to a self-funded plan. And a self-funded option for a group of your size really isn't viable. Mm-hmm. They do exist in the marketplace, but they're not really viable. So those are things that we just need to take into consideration. The challenge for any employer in that arrangement, and understand that all employers with 2 to 50 employees now are under that arrangement, is that your cost then becomes somewhat of a moving target as you hire employees or employees leave. Because right now, if you hire an employee, the employee rate is the employee rate. If you hire an employee who's 18 years old, the rate will be this. If you hire an employee who's 64 years old, the rate will be this. And as you set your contribution strategy so that the employee has a set contribution strategy, your cost could be more or less depending on the age of that employee and or their dependents that are enrolled. Does that make sense?
To an insurer.
Yes, okay. So I'll just throw illustrative numbers out there. So if you have an employee under this new arrangement and say they're 20 years old and their rate is $200, and if that employee leaves and you replace it with a 52-year-old like myself, that $200 may not be $400. So the standard rate of $475 goes away. It's now based on that employee's age. Okay. So you could have an employee who is 20 years old, who has a spouse who's 53 years old. Now it's $200 plus the $400. You add that up. Right now an employee and spouse is $1,111, and it stays that way regardless. So that's some of the complexity that healthcare reform will bring to you. And again, unfortunately, it's unavoidable.
Inadvertently, it appears to be an age discrimination counseling reform.
But that's not where we're at right now.
No, but that's
so
where
that's something to look forward to. But right now, that shouldn't influence any decisions that we make.
No.
Today.
Part of the discussion that we want to make sure you understand is that, again, the benefit plan designs, even with HealthNet, will be adapted to conform to that. And there is a possibility of the plan you have now will go away as a result.
Next year.
But we can deal with that next year.
But if we sign up in October, then we can keep it for another year.
Correct. With United.
Right.
United. Yes. And then the Cadillac tax, again, this is something we do like to pre-plan and just kind of keep an eye on. Because it's based, there's a 40% excise tax that's going to be imposed on employers if their plan doesn't meet the affordability requirements of the Cadillac tax.
This is going to be imposed in 2018. So we do a measurement for our clients as an advance notice. Where does your benefit plan design land in that Cadillac tax requirement?
So just based off of the current premiums, with HealthNet, looking at a 10% increase, 12%, which is right around the trend within your market segment, and then a 14%. We're starting to see that you guys would be impacted by that excise tax beginning in 2017 and in 2018. So it's just something to keep an eye on. It doesn't apply right now, and it could change, but that's as we know it today. But when we take the same premium calculations for the United Healthcare plan, because they are less expensive, looking at the same projection at a 10% increase, 12 or 14%, we're not running into any jeopardy of a Cadillac tax.
Just things to take into consideration. And as your consultants, we always want to make sure that when we're looking at your costs, we're looking at your costs not just in a vacuum on a one-year basis. We want to make sure we're looking at forward and what the impact could possibly be to you, so that you know going into future years there could be other impacts that are beyond are within your control, but that control then may mean that you have to make changes to either benefit plan designs and or carriers.
So I'm sorry.
And why didn't we get that information in our packet?
The Cadillac tax.
Mm-hmm.
That was my mistake.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yes. Absolutely.
So let's move over into the HRA administration.
Okay.
I think that's next.
Yeah, page 9. And page 10 are two HRA illustrations.
Again, HRA stands for Health Reimbursement Account. And health reimbursement accounts come under the federal tax code 105H. And these programs have been around for about 15 years. And what it allows an employer to do is to be able to increase their deductible and, again, backstop a portion of that deductible for their employees under Section 105H. The reimbursement is not seen as income to the employee because it's still part of the benefit package. So the employer is still allowed to set that up. There is a lot of flexibility within those programs. So, again, if you want to keep your plans really at the same amount, for the same deductible for employees, you could set up your health reimbursement rate the same so that your employees have no impact from a benefit plan design standpoint relative to deductibles, yet you see the benefit of a decrease in the premiums. Okay, so
is this money that would be taken out and the employees actually not taxed on that? No.
It's not. It's employer dollars, the employees, this is no okay. employee dollars. Okay. What happens is you'll see the current premiums, the savings from moving to option 9 comparing to current premiums with HealthNet. You take that savings, that dollar amount, and you fund a portion of the deductible if someone needs to have deductible services. So you say, okay, employee, you're still, let's say we're looking at option 9 with United on that base plan has a $1,000 deductible. You say, employee, you will still have a $500 deductible like you do now, and the City of Bisbee will pick up the second $500. We'll reimburse you that second $500 through the HRA account. So you have a third-party administrator who the employee can submit, their documentation showing that they've had deductible expenses, and that company will write them a check or deposit money into their account.
Do we have to have a third party to do that?
You don't, but it's recommended because of HIPAA due to privacy issues, and administratively it's just easier.
But that provides another expense.
It's about a $4,000 a year expense to do that. Again, our recommendation is really for employers never to be in that situation. HIPAA is a concern because an employee will have to file an explanation of benefits, also known as an EOB. And if they provide that to you, then they could potentially expose information about themselves that employees may not be able to do. Secondarily, we never want to be in a situation where, say, the reimbursement isn't processed on a timely basis, and an employee feels like they're being discriminated against, so there's a lag or whatever the case might be. So by setting up a third-party administrator, it's an arm's length. Third-party administrator gets the claim. They then come to the city and say, we just received a claim for $247.12. The city funds an account through a zero balance account. The employee is then at a check where reimbursement has been into a bank account. So there is a little additional expense that the city has.
So then on that, if that's the way that everybody chooses to go, and it would be to help the employee out on their deductible, mm-hmm. could that kick in the, is that an option that we as a council could make to kick that in first, sure. rather than, on the back end, if their deductible goes up to 1,000, we kick in the first 500, and if it goes past that, then the employee can pick up the remaining 500. That
sure.
is an option
yeah.
that we could.
You could design it to work however you would want it to work.
And would that be into their benefits package?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you'll see that at 100%, if you paid out 100% of all 77 people enrolled on the plan, you would still be in the savings.
Okay. Yeah, so if you take out this illustration, we can kind of walk you through that a little bit. Again, we always want to make sure that it's an eyes wide open transaction for you if you choose to go down that path. And the illustration we're showing here, Becky, again, is keeping the deductible at 500 of zero, correct?
Correct. So it's reimbursing employees $500. Again, you'll see the current HealthNet current premiums versus the United Healthcare Option 9 premium. At the bottom of the table is just showing you taking those savings to, if you had to reimburse 20% of your group, what that would cost Bisbee, and then the savings to the far right. So the sheet looks a lot more complicated than it is.
Generally speaking, yeah, the percentage, the HRA percentage is around 20%.
Statistically, it's 20%. So you'll, I did request, I got your deductible report, and I believe just off the top of my head, again, because I haven't been in the office all day, but I believe off the top of my head there was maybe two people that have had deductible expenses in the past year. So, but I will send that to you so that, again, so we can see how many people statistically have ran into their
so you would see in that situation that under the $500 deductible, your expense will only be $1,000. So you would see basically a windfall there of $1,000 that your savings would be even more significant. It'd be in the 60-some thousand dollar range, mm-hmm, less your administrative costs. So again, this is an opportunity for the city to realize real savings. It's an opportunity for your employees to realize savings, particularly for those employees who are covered dependents. And it's an opportunity for those employees who are buying up to also see a savings from the in our agency, we, I will tell you, about 30% of our clients offer health reimbursement arrangements. We call it running the increase, and this is a way to do that. Again, we feel that you're overinsured right now. I know the employees are looking that way because it's a very rich benefit package. But if we can try to keep the employees as whole as possible, particularly on the deductible side, and see a windfall from the savings overall, why would we not look at that as an option? So that's why we're proposing a health reimbursement arrangement coupled with higher deductibles.
Page 10, just follow the same format.
May I ask employees how they feel about that?
Is that true? I don't know that I understand that. What you said at the beginning, so I don't know that I understand that at all.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Are we understanding what you're saying? Or not? I don't understand what you're saying.
With the employer paying $500 up front, that's the amount of time given for you to make this decision, and for the council to fully understand that and decide upon that. I can't explain it other than it sounds like a hip shot.
Can I try and explain it to them?
Huge, fast decision.
Mayor?
Oh, Councilmember Solomon.
Basically, what they're proposing is that we restructure, use this new health program, which would raise deductibles. It would lower the cost of the city, but the city would then, because we don't have a lot of people using the insurance, but we're kind of paying a high coverage so that people who are employees can get low deductibles, but they're not really taking advantage of that, because maybe we have healthy people or whatever. So that's a good thing, but we can save money as a city by paying for a plan that has higher deductibles, but yet those won't fall upon the employee because the city would be doing this, what's it called, health reimbursement account. So we would still actually pay that difference. It wouldn't be much of a change, if any, to the employee, yet we would save money.
I think the
City would assist employees
with the
and that's okay.
They can calculate a gamble on the fact that the occurrence of that is going to be such that you are going to save money, but you're still going to provide the same coverage by taking that risk.
I think.
But as employees, we're going to pay less money out of our check.
Yes.
At the same time as well. So we are going to see a savings regardless.
Yes. Yes.
As employees, even in the buy-up plan, we're going to see a savings. If you have that buy-up plan, like myself, I do, that's going to be a savings to me because it's not as much money coming out of my cafeteria plan.
Correct.
And for those who have dependent coverage or their spouses covered on the insurance, it'll be less of their paycheck every month to cover that. It'll still be a $500 deductible, It's actually $1,000, but the city's going to pay that other $500. So to the employee itself, you're going to save money in the long run.
So and they're going to pay the $500 up front.
Yes.
Right. So, Tom, you know, it's so essentially.
You probably can explain it better than I can.
essentially, you know, even though we're changing carriers, the deductibles are increasing. What we're trying to do is mirror the existing health net plan. And that's the bottom line. And the way to mirror that plan is by way of that health reimbursement arrangement or health reimbursement account. And if we're paying it up front, beautiful. It's no cost to you. When you pass that threshold, whatever it's set, if it's $500, all right, now the employee then kicks in. But we're trying to mirror that plan and, quote, make them, quote, whole as best as we can. And so we're not overinsured any longer. We realize that savings as opposed to just shelling it out to help net and us realizing nothing. We're just paying just for the heck of it. Yeah. And so, but, you know, we have an opportunity as a city to save money, but again, trying to mirror the existing benefits.
It will require some engagement from the employee because you will have to file a claim.
Right.
Okay, but realizing that the incidence of claims that we've seen so far are so few and infrequent that many of you will never, ever have to file a claim because you never have to use it. And if you do, again, the HR staff is available to help employers file those claims if necessary. So it'll be filed through a third-party administrator. And there may be a situation where the employee never has an out-of-pocket expense simply because the mechanism by filing the claim is an explanation of benefits. So once the insurance company issues that, you can file an explanation of benefits, and you may be reimbursed before the payment comes to you from the provider. But there is an extra step, and there will be responsibility on staff to file those claims. If you never file a claim, you'll never get reimbursed.
Okay. Mr. Diaz and Ms. Lopez, I think correct me if I'm mistaken, the most significant part of this change to United Healthcare is the 90-10. Well, I understand that HealthNet covers 100% of that. And so the employees are going to have to kick in up to $4,000, 10%. Is that right? And HealthNet, the employees don't have to kick in anything. Is that correct?
Depends.
Well, there's other deductibles, of course, but on that 90-10 part, the employee is going to have to pay in up to $4,000.
Correct.
And that is a significant difference from what the health net has. And I need to bring that up. So that's a large amount of money for the employees to have to pay if they have a large, you know, hospital bill or doctor expenses. This is the question that is before the council. There's an $85,000 swing between the new health net that we would have to adopt, probably, or United Healthcare. But we're talking about $500 deductibles. I think we also have to talk about that $4,000 thing if you have some sort of a serious injury. Now, I know it's only one time a year. You can only $4,000. If you do five surgeries, it's just $4,000. That's it. And so I think that is the most significant difference between Health Net and United Health.
Yes.
You think I'm correct?
Yes, and okay. Again, Mayor, the HRA could take that into account. So you could say...
How much of the 4,000, though?
That's up to you.
But okay. Everything is accumulating toward that maximum out-of-pocket, so it's not just the deductible, if you had deductible services. It's prescription drug copays. It's doctor office visit copays. It's everything you pay for underneath that health plan, mm-hmm. other than your premiums, is going toward that 4,000. So someone could have $1,000 in copays and only $3,000 in deductible coinsurance.
Okay. Yeah, Mayor and Council, one piece of all this, you know, through many conversations that we've had over the year, you all have charged me with improving relationships with various entities and agencies. One conversation that was had recently, and it hadn't been fleshed out, is that with folks over at Copper Queen. One of the things that, and I don't have anything in writing just yet, one of the things that they're interested in doing is offering city employees reductions in certain services. I don't have all of them just yet, but I just want to bring that up. So as an example, ER visits, they're willing to cut that in half. Copays, they're willing to completely waive the copays. And so there are different, again, we're trying to do everything that we can to help offset the cost and help employees. As soon as I get something in writing, I'll report it, but we've just not gotten to that point just yet. So I just want to let you all know that I have had that conversation. Cindy and Sharon will actually go back over to the hospital later on this week to try to flesh that out a little bit more.
And we tried to run that to ground before we came, but
parties involved. Dr. Rowe isn't available until tomorrow.
Councilmember Klein?
So you were saying that they would waive what now?
The copays.
Copays.
And deductibles. Copays, well, the two, I'm certain, copay as well as ER emergency room visits. So as opposed to that, $300 is
$150.
Cutting them in half.
Still an expensive Band-Aid.
It might be, but it's cheaper than what it
is. I paid $900 for a Band-Aid.
One other point that I'm not entirely sure of, and I'm not an expert in insurance, obviously, I'm sure you can tell. The $1,000 deductible, is that included in that 90-10? So is there a $1,000 deductible that they'd have to pay? And let's say the bill was $25,000. It would be a $1,000 deductible and the $4,000?
And then 10% up to an out-of-pocket maximum of $4,000.
Maximum $4,000. Okay, got it.
What's the total on that thing?
$4,000.
That's everything.
Yeah, that would include all that stuff, right?
I was meeting with the county, an $823,000 bill. Okay, they do exist.
But the city of Bisbee can
$4,000 employee
cover
bill.
Some of that if we
if you chose to correct, if you chose to backstop some of that as well.
Okay.
I like that idea. Because we would still realize the savings and still help our employees out.
Mm-hmm. And still offer nice.
Now, our recommendation for the city would be, from an accrual standpoint, that you would accrue at the highest cost on the books. Again, for somewhere in between. I mean, we really don't recommend you accruing the maximum because it's never going to happen. The analogy I use is every employee would have to get on a bus, and the bus would have to crash. That's just not going to happen. So. Again, we see 20% or less, and we do a lot of this, and we review HRA health reimbursement deductible reports on a regular basis, and we never see an excess of 20%. Could that happen? Absolutely. But the majority of our clients always accrue more than they need, and especially as a municipality, we would recommend and we would help you set that accrual because we want to make sure that you don't run into a deficit should something major happen, a roof collapses or something like that.
With the 77 employees that we have, and the only thing that I can't find is what is the amount that would be in the HRA on an annual basis? Is that the 345, or is it the difference between the 396 and the... I'm on page 10 here.
If you look on page 9 or 10, the middle box where it says employees 77... per employee per year, giving them either $500 or $1,500 based off of the option.
That's the cost.
Yes. So
that's the accrual?
For the entire population. Again, that would be all 77 employees would blow through their entire bill, which is not likely to happen. So it's a $38,000, $500 potential expense.
Potential expense. That's reimbursing every employee $500.
Oh,
we're thinking that the bottom box is going to be $7,700 or less.
Okay. Okay, I don't think I...
They're just showing if everyone did it. But
yeah, I understand, but what I'm trying to find out is what is going to be in the HRA.
The HRA is, let's call it virtual. There is no money put into an account. It's pay as you go. Not like an HSA. Under a health savings arrangement, the city would then fund a portion into an account balance. This is only as claims occur, then the city reimburses the employee.
Okay.
So it's not real
okay,
money.
Okay.
Ms. Blono, the finance director, did you have a comment?
That's just what I was going to say. What Mr. Diaz says, you said only two people met their deductibles last year. Is that correct?
I'm pretty sure about that. I'm going to review the deductible report, but that's at a quick glance, yes.
So,
and they didn't even max it out.
Right, so that would be $1,000 is what she's saying.
Right.
Nothing's reimbursable until they hit the deductible. All the preventative care is free.
Right.
So there's nothing billing towards the deductible.
Right. Okay.
So it's
okay.
Not a health savings account, it's a reimbursement. Yeah.
That's where I was getting confused.
So realize our 20% illustration means that roughly 15 employees would have to exceed a $500 deductible. Again, not likely to happen based on what we know.
Do we have a history of what the deductibles have been for like 5 years or something? Just have it for the 1 year?
We're not privy to that information. That's what Becky was talking about when she said that there were two that hit it last year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you're part of Becky. Do you have any idea of what that number is?
The insurance companies, based on your size, are not typically open to giving us that information.
Okay.
Part of the reason why is they don't track that information for a group of less than 100 employees. And secondly, their discomfort is that if I provide you that information, it could lead to a potential HIPAA violation. You might be able to surmise who that is.
Okay.
So they're protecting their employees' interests. But with 77 employees, I think that's not likely to happen. If you had 7 employees, obviously that would be very easy to surmise.
We are beginning to run up against our regular council session, and you know, I actually wish that we could go up another hour or so, but we can't. What's important for council is to make decisions, and sometimes there are decisions. So there's an $85,000 swing of using this option 9 on United Health, or staying with Health Net, which is a $21,000 increase with the same program. Now we have that 90-10 program. That is significant. And the council is going to need to think about that. They're going to need to talk to employees, which I already have. Employees are going to have to express yourselves. So we are up against a budget crunch time right now, beginning next Monday. Is that correct, Ms. Bonner?
I'm hoping if a decision is made that I can, that Mr. Johnson will release the budget on Friday, but this kind of, there's a big difference between $100,000 in savings and $26,000 in increase. So as soon as we have some guidance from council, we'll plug those numbers in and take it forward.
I called for a special session next Thursday, I believe at 5:30, is that correct?
It's coming
Thursday. Yeah.
It's important to... I don't like to be in time crunches like this, quite frankly. I think we should have had at least a month to work out a lot of details, but for various reasons that didn't happen. So employees, this is your program. This is about you. This is who it's about. And so you need to give your input, but you also have to balance it against the thought that the city is looking at, let me phrase it softly, a very difficult budget this year, and that's expressing it softly. So these are the concerns that we have, and you need to express them. But I think you also need to bear in mind what is in the best interest of the community as a whole. It's a very, very tough decision, probably much tougher for you because it's your health insurance. But the council will ultimately have to make that decision. I don't know what else to say. I don't like making this decision this quickly. Actually, it was originally scheduled to follow this work session. And I pulled it from the agenda, and I said, we need a little time to think about this. So it was rescheduled for Thursday, I believe, at 5:30. I have nothing further to add. Councilmember Klein.
The mayor is correct. We do have a tough decision to make, but we have the potential to really save a big chunk of money. But we've never had the option before of actually helping our employees up front with their deductible. So if they can still have the coverage, and actually, if they're not having to put up front that first $500, the employees will actually be saving quite a bit there, because chances are they won't get to the back end of that. So I like that we are actually able to really, for the first time, help our employees with their actual costs, and still save a big chunk in the budget, so I'm really pleased with that, and I do like that option. And you know, we've been in this spot every year, and this is really the first time that we've actually had that option to help our employees.
I don't want to complicate the situation, but if you're seriously considering an upfront $500 reimbursement, there's a potential to get rid of your buyout. And so the employees on the buy-up plan now would see even a more significant decrease by mm-hmm. Now they would have a second $500 deductible mm-hmm. that they don't enjoy now. But again, realizing that very small portion of employees ever access their deductible, they would have at least $500 covered by the city. They would see even a much more significant decrease in their premiums. The employees would see 100% coverage as opposed to the buyout portion, and then the family members they cover will see even more of a decrease in their costs. They'd have that exposure, they'd have $500 exposure that they don't have now, but again, they may never realize that.
But they can make that decision too.
As I said earlier, we are running up into right now a time crunch, yeah. Or is it time crunches? For a regular session of the council, any other council member have any other comments or staff members?
No, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Diaz and Ms. Lopez. Thank you very much, and you explained very well, answered the questions, and we were it was a delight doing business with you, and you helping us out with these various options. We appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
We have a motion to adjourn. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.